Hello, and welcome to the third episode of the Digital Hazard Podcast. You are getting this on Monday instead of on Friday because it was A, Halloween weekend, and B, the weekend that all my early action college apps were due. So it's coming to you today on Monday as opposed to on Friday. And if you know anything, you were looking at the blog posts, so you got this information already. Or anyway. I'm going to start out with really old news. Well, it might not be old news to you. I hope it's not old news to you. Facebook and MySpace might be getting cozy in that they're going to possibly to be sharing responsibilities in delivering content to their users. The article that I have basically says that you're going to be able to use your Facebook Connect login, which is your Facebook user, your Facebook email and password, to log into MySpace. And then you'll also be able to take your MySpace music and play it over Facebook. Is that what I'm... I think that's what I remember. My opinion, my take on this is that, well, it's sort of a Facebook has won move. MySpace is sort of just slowly dying off back to the original size it was back when just bands were MySpacers. Who checks their MySpace anymore if you're not a band? The thing with MySpace, it was just sort of an oddly designed, ugly designed thing. There was relatively no consistency, and if you sort of go look at a random band's MySpace page, it's sort of like filled with spam MySpace posts. And I think that Facebook is not like that. So you have Facebook winning against MySpace. So I'm gonna leave it at that. If you're horribly opposed to Facebook and MySpace getting together, then feel free to write in and tell me, because for the second week in a row, I don't have an email. I'll come back to that later in the show. Going on to my next story, there's a big question mark about whether the iPhone's coming to Verizon. The Apple Insider blog, let me just pull up a tab here real quick, says that the exclusive contract that Apple is predicted to sacrifice its exclusive contract with AT&T in order to switch the phone over to Verizon. And this is kind of silly, because my next story is that the Verizon and Motorola unveil a Droid. If you've gone on Motorola's website, if you've gone on Verizon's website, anything, you'll see the Droid, you'll play with the Droid. Any reviewer's website, you'll see the Droid. Article on the Apple Insider blog, says that the agreement will probably mark the end of the carrier subsidy for the iPhone, and that you might end up with Verizon taking over the iPhone. Then you have the two Jesus phones on the same network, Verizon's iPhone and Verizon's Droid. But yes, the Droid still looks... I'm moving off of the Apple story here. The Droid still looks like a good phone, really good phone. CNET has said, Boy Genius has said, and Engadget had a review too, that the Droid is the quickest Android phone they've seen ever. That it's a strong competitor to the iPhone. I was reading someone's blog. I'll have to go find it. They did a point-by-point comparison of the iPhone versus the Droid, and they basically said that I can't recommend one over the other because they're just both fully functional phones. And I have to agree, as much as I hate the iPhone, iPhone has a loyal following, and I know that there's iPhone heads that are listeners of this podcast, which I found out last week. So, yay! I'm actually increasing in listenership faster than I thought I was going to. So, my next story, I've flown through 3 stories in just over 5 minutes. This is looking like a fast podcast. It's a Monday. I hate Mondays, something like that. My next story is that Microsoft and Yahoo might finally be signing the Bing to take over Yahoo's search deal. But as of right now, they're shaky. If Bing takes over Yahoo's search, Microsoft will get the number 2 spot behind Google. And it's kind of funny that they're fighting for the number 2 spot, because Google's just way out there in front. I don't have the figures, and I can't pull them up real quick, about how much in front Google is in the search market over Yahoo, which is still number 2, even as a dying industry thing. It's still number 2. But they're signing up, and Microsoft will get the number 2 spot in search, which is what they were going for. I mean, when the analysts were all seeing how like Bing's market share was shooting up like 18,000% in the first month, and it was all simply because of the ad campaign that Microsoft spent promoting Bing. I was kind of surprised Bing wasn't already in second, but I guess when you think about it, it's obvious, oh, Yahoo's definitely in second. But now if Microsoft takes that over, then Microsoft will own second and third place, which will now be just second place. It's going to a two-competitor system there. It'll be Microsoft versus Google, as if Microsoft isn't taking on Google in every other space already. Google, you know, the Google Chrome operating system is supposed to come out sometime. And antitrust regulators are, it says right here, are still pouring over the deal. In a statement, Microsoft said the two companies remain committed to the arrangement. And Microsoft said both companies are optimistic that we will be able to close this deal by early 2010. Okay. More power to you, Microsoft. Like, finally, the micro-who romance thing, bromance, whatever you want to call it, like, got together. Happy, done, finally, moving on, kind of thing. All right. My next story is an Apple story, and you're all going to hate me because, you know, you're just going to hate me because I hate Apple. Who's Bill Keller again? Anyway, Bill Keller is talking to the New York Times, and he mentions offhand that there's this thing called the Apple Slate, and that's going to come out sometime soon. And he gave a speech at Harvard. Who is Bill Keller? Just come on, Wikipedia, load. Load for me, Wikipedia. Bill Keller is executive editor of the New York Times. See, I knew that. Everyone knew that. What he lets drop here is that the New York Times is going to sign an exclusive deal to bring their content to an Apple tablet, the Apple Slate. And everyone has gone and beaten this thing over the horse so many times that the thing and the horse that they're beating are both dead. And now I'm just talking about it because I'm, you know, so far behind. Anyway. He says that the New York Times will bring their content to the Apple Slate and make it available, as in to punish, or not punish, but as in to sign off on deal with Apple, as opposed to signing off with Barnes & Noble, the e-reader that I talked about last week, the Kindle, and the other e-readers, the Sony reader, the Plastic Logic reader, the thousands of other e-readers that you have. And yeah, just people are talking about an Apple Slate, an Apple tablet. Slate is a really weird word. I mean, yeah, it's all Apple retro-y thing. And the picture, the artist rendering here that they have, is it looks like a giant iPhone. It looks like a Kindle-sized iPhone with a giant screen and like a dock worth of icons. And okay. I don't know. Apple's getting into the e-reader business, as if it's already into the phone business, as if you're going to be able to play music off this thing too, or you're going to have to... I guarantee you, 100%, this will have no ports. No USB ports, no FireWire ports, and the only thing it'll have is a power cord port. And that's it. And it'll have wireless everything else. Because that's the way Apple does it. That's my prediction. If it comes out, if it comes true, you all owe me, like, a pat on the back, or, like, a congratulations, or something like that. That's my prediction. That's all I'm going to say about it. And I'm going to move on. My next story to talk about is Amazon is taking on PayPal with PayPhrase. All right, PayPal, PayPhrase. Like, what's next? PayBuddy? Or, like, pay sentence, something like that. Okay, sorry, bad puns, not funny, moving on. Going on to talk about this article now. Alright. Amazon is trying to cut up the pay online, like the Google checkout, the PayPal market, and, I don't know, I kind of like this, like, when you think of online bank, like online money transfer, you think of PayPal. So PayPal has the monopoly on online bank, online money. So Amazon, like, boom, you can pay for things with my third-party marketers with Amazon. I mean, I already do that through Amazon. So I want to be able to pay for things with some other thing besides PayPal, which is owned by eBay. So it's just Amazon versus eBay in the selling shit online market. Like, didn't we already have this? I just came to that realization, by the way. But I'll also be able to... if I want to wire my money to one of you people for one reason or another, I can send you money through Amazon. And the other thing is, like, if you have money, if you have gift cards and things in Amazon, and you want to pay somebody who you bought something off of PayPal, you can use PayPhrase. So, yeah, okay, good thing, bad name. Final word on that one. And then my last story, I'm just blowing through this podcast really fast, I realize that. It's because I don't have, like, some witty banter or something or other. I have a lot of, whatever. Last thing, and I promise, I might go off on some tangent about what happened in school, whatever. Software that fixes itself. Alright. No, it doesn't debug its code. Like, you can't just, like, copy and paste the code for debugging itself at the top of your code and say, call the debugger and debug yourself. No, you can't do that. So the code will not do that. It's an antivirus mechanism thing. So it actually comes from Martin Rinard, a professor of computer science at MIT, talked about delivering an immortal, unvulnerable program. So the code, the program, will be able to sense that it has a security flaw, and it will download and patch itself for itself. So the user doesn't even have to think about it, that there's an update or something like that. It's going to observe the program's normal behavior, so you'll know that Photoshop opens folders, opens pictures, and saves pictures and saves folders and things like that, and it doesn't really do anything else. But when your Photoshop suddenly starts modifying files in folders that it never goes into, deep in the C drive of your computer, or the slash volume slash users slash dot 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 slash whatever in macOS world. I mean, like, do your users even know what's in those folders? Just as macOS users, someone tell me. Someone please write me and just say, oh, of course I know exactly what's in that folder. And prove me wrong, because I when I look at macOS, I don't think that anyone knows what's in those folders. Anyway. But when, as soon as Photoshop starts modifying things in those dark folders that you never go into and only the system writes, this ClearView, is what it's called, will detect that certain type of error in behavior, and it will go and it will patch Photoshop and say, oh, realize Photoshop has obviously been attacked by something, so I'm going to go and fix it. And it fixes it. And, you know, it's happy, because I didn't even know Photoshop was doing something wrong, and ClearView went and fixed it. Software that fixes itself. How awesome is that? The only problem here is that there's a small leap between software that fixes itself and downloading the software that fixes itself so that robots can fix themselves. And then when we have robots that fix themselves, we have robot overlords, and the human race becomes enslaved. And I'm going to catch a lot of flack for this, but, you know, it was bad. It was bad when white people did it to black people, and it'll be even worse when robots do it to humans. Yes. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. With that happy thought, I don't have any emails to read for the second week in a row. I mentioned that at the top of the podcast. And I would like to read some emails. So you could send some to me. And the way you would do that would be to email me at mbaron50@gmail.com. And you want to put in the subject Digital Hazard Podcast, DHP, something that lets me know, or something that lets my filter know that you are sending me something about a podcast. That's how you can get your text read on the show, and that's how you can get your feedback to me understood and responded to in a clear manner. Because let me just tell you that Facebook chat and MSN and face-to-face and telephone calls, unless they're on my voicemail, because then I'll rip them off and put them on the show, that doesn't get responded to, okay? That doesn't get responded to on the podcast. Yes, I'm responding to it right now, but I'm just telling you that you have to give me some physical, digital evidence. Physical, digital. Watch that. Trickiness. Physical, digital evidence of your complaint, of your stuff, and I will read it on the show, and then you can argue with each other, because you don't even know who each other are. Oh, watch that trickiness. Send me something, I'll read it, and we'll have a good time. That's my email. And I'm gonna close this off. So that's it for this week, and you can expect another episode on Friday. Ta-ta for now.